judge the odds. This is how we overcome. This is how we overcome. In the name of Jesus, hallelujah. Say this is how.
This is how we overcome.
With my hands lifted up, hallelujah, this is how.
This is how we overcome.
Hallelujah. In my mouth filled with praise, this is how we
overcome. This is how we overcome.
Oh, hallelujah. Say, this is how we overcome.
This is how we overcome.
Yeah, yeah. Oh. Say, this is how we but mighty through God.
This is
hallelujah.
How
say, this is how we overcome.
This is how we overcome.
You have turned. That's it. That's it. Let's pray. Hallelujah. Because I like that song, Jess. I can sing it. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these people. Our ministry in their absence, our Pastor Sapp and his family in Jesus' name, all of our elders and musicians in their respective places, my dear wife, Lord, help me teach and preach slowly and clearly and with much power and anointing. We thank you right now. Clap your hands if you're going to pray with me and help me. Hallelujah. Thank you, musicians. Thank you, Pastor Sapp, to the ministry in their respective places. While you're standing, I didn't get a chance to give my scripture sister a done, so you're going to type really fast, Sister Dunn, help me out here tonight, please. We're going to read from our text. It's going to be in St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Praise Jesus. 15 verse. We're going to read a number of verses. So if you're able to stand with me, I will appreciate it. We're going to read a number of verses, so kind of prepare yourself for standing here for a few seconds. Matthew 25th chapter, and we'll start from verse 15. I read them. If you can follow along in your Bibles, it'll be very helpful. This is a Bible church. This is Bible study. So we're going to read the Bible. Is that okay? Amen? And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to everyone according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained other 2 or another 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. It wasn't his. It was his Lord's money. If you're accustomed to marking in your Bible, that would be a really good place to do so under them 2 words, his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. He reasoned with them. There's another word to use there. And so he that had received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents, saying, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. Behold, I have gained. Beside the ones you gave me, I gained 5 more. His Lord said unto him, well done. Good job. Thou good and faithful servant, that has been faithful over a few things, I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord, of thy Lord. He also that had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you gave me 2 talents. Behold, I have gained 2 more talents besides the ones you gave me. Verse 23, his Lord said unto him, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee that thou art an hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid, I was fearful, I was terrified, and went and hid. I didn't make use of, I didn't utilize it. He said, I went and hid in the earth, hid the talent in the earth. Lord, thou hast what you gave me. In other words, this is what you gave me, I'm bringing it back to you. His Lord answered and said unto him, thou wicked. Listen to this. I'm not going to talk while you're standing, but just indulge me here for a few seconds. He said, his Lord answered and said unto him, you wicked and slothful servant. Not based on his behavior, not based on anything that he had done outside of his dealings with his gifts, his talents, and his abilities. Listen to what the Lord called him after these things. His Lord called him a wicked and slothful servant. Thou knew that I reap where I sowed not, and I gather where I have not strawed. You ought to have therefore put my money in the exchangers. And then at my coming, I should have received mine own with interest or with usury. Take therefore the talent from him and give it to him which had 10 talents. For unto everyone that had shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that had not shall be taken away even that which he had. Verse 30, the last one I'm going to read while you're standing. Listen to this. It says, and he cast ye the unprofitable servant. I have never understood this parable like this before. Listen, it says, and cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness, where there should be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Please clap your hands as you're being seated. Clap them really long and really hard and really loud. Thank you so much for standing with me, them long verses. I know I read a lot of verses there. Based not on what this servant have done, this has never really gotten my attention before like this, like it has this in my studies. The Bible says that we all are familiar with this guy here, and with his story, I should say, and in line with being a witness. We're going to just talk about this witness thing. This was on my spirit before Pastor Sapnum called me the other day, and my wife and I was discussing this, I think on Sunday or something, about these things. So when they called me, I said, well, Lord, thank you. You already gave me something to talk about, I believe. I'm going to need your help. If you can pray, then please pray. If you can worship, please worship. It's not going to be light stuff. It's going to be not for the faint of hearted, if I can say it that way. But we are familiar with this story, I think the majority of us. And basically what happens here is that there were three different servants. Now, I was reading some background on this. And there are a couple of, at least two school of thoughts here. And one school of thought says that this is a literal story. Literal meaning this actually happened historically. You can go to the point, time, and place and say this happened there with real people. And there's another school of thought that says this is a figurative story, which means this represents, this is a type or a symbol or a shadowing, which was used a lot in the Old Testament times. Either one, I think the principle is still very strong and it's very clear what our Lord is giving through this parabolic story here. The Bible says that there was three servants. And these three servants, he gave each one of them a talent, a gifts, and some abilities. Some he gave one, others he gave 3 and 5. And the Bible says that when he came back to exact on what he had given them, in other words, when he came back to see what they had done with the talents and with the gifts and the abilities that he had entrusted them with, he came and said, okay, what did you do with what I gave you? And he went through the line. And as we read earlier, it came to the very last person. And it got my attention because the Bible says that he didn't speak of this person's character at all. He said nothing of this person's life at all. He said nothing about this person in their doctrine or that person in maybe their lifestyle or their standards or anything else. He basically judged these three individuals on what he had given them, what their talents and what their gifts and what their abilities was. And listen to this. The Bible says that he didn't even ask them on even how they used it or maybe where they used it at. The Bible says that he looked at these three servants, Sister Walcott, and said, you did well. You did well, but I gave you these things. I gave you this gift and this talent and this ability. What did you do with it? And the Bible says, he said, I went and hid it in the earth. In other words, I made no use of it at all. And I think he was proud because he had came back to God. And he was standing there with himself, with his gifts and talents and abilities. And he said, Lord, I at least have myself. I brought me back. And as I was reading this, it kind of jumped out the scriptures to me. And I think that that's what a lot of us, I just want to jump right into it. Can I just jump right into what I'm trying to say? I don't want you to be figuring out. I'm just going to tell you right where I'm going with this, right here. And I think that's what we're doing here. Listen, we're coming back with ourselves. And we're saying, well, I'm here. You know, and we're going in and we're coming out on a regular basis. And we're saying, Lord, I'm here. Isn't this enough? You know, I've been washed in the water. I've been baptized. I've been filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm pursuing a life of holiness by way of separation. Here I am. Here I go. Isn't this what you want? And as we read here, bringing ourselves sometimes is just not enough. So we have to understand, what is God want from us? What is the big deal? What is the will of God for my life? Why did God save me? Why did he allow me to come into the knowledge of who he is? Was it just for me? Was it just for me to bring myself here? For me to go to heaven? Was it just for me to come here and to hear the word of God preached and to hear these songs sung? Was it for me to receive this power and this anointing and this gifting and these talents and these abilities? Was it just for me? What is the will of God? I hear so many people asking, what is the will of God for my life? The Bible says in Ephesians 5 and 17, wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it is God's plan and purpose for us to not only know, but to understand his will for our life. It's not mystical. It's not deep. It's not just for the ministry. But God has made his will known and clear to us. What is the will of God for RC Powell? What is the will of God for you? Why are you here? What in the world are we doing here on a Wednesday evening when the majority of us have worked and labored all the day long? Are we just here because we like one another? Are we just here because we couldn't find nothing else to do with our time? Are we just here because this is a social club, perhaps? And I think we'll all answer in concert and say, absolutely not. Well, then why are we here? What is the will of God for us? Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 7 and 21. He says like this, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that do what? The will of my Father which is in heaven. Here it goes again. What is the will? What is the will? Because we read previously that God wants us to know his will. He said, wherefore be ye not unwise? He said, but you can know what the will of God is for us. What is his will? What is God's will? What is his direct will? What is his universal will for a born-again Christian? The Bible says in 2 Peter 3 and 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we can kind of put that in context. If you put that in context, it'll read a little different at the end. Let's go to part C. But is long-suffering toward usward, and he is not willing. Or we can say it this way. It is not his will that any should perish. Other words, the will of God, let's just get it out in the open. The will of God is for not a man and not a woman to perish. That is God's will for mankind. It has always been his will from day one until now for not an individual to perish. God would have all men everywhere to repent. That is the will of God. Jesus said, for this purpose have I came, and for this purpose will I die. I have come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. I come that you may be saved. That is absolutely the will of God. The will of God is that not one man, not one woman should perish and be lost. That is his will. He wants that for us, and he wants that to become our will. You can basically separate the two groups of people like this. Thine will be done my will be done. Because let me tell you, they are absolutely different. There is a vast difference. He said it like this: your thoughts are not my thoughts. Your thoughts are so much higher than mine. He said they are far from one another as far as the sun is from the earth. His thoughts, his ways are different from ours. But he said his will must become our will. The Bible, he went as far as to say in Matthew 6 and 10, he said this way: thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And we understand this was the pattern way of prayer. This is how he taught them to pray. We understand that we shouldn't repeat it verbatim, but he was saying, basically, when you pray, I want you to pray for my will to be done, not yours. He said, I want you to pray and to seek that my will be done. He said it differently in Matthew 12 and 50. He says like this in Matthew 12 and 54, whosoever shall do the will of my Father which is in heaven, the same is my brother and sister and mother. Listen to this now. He is equating those that do the will of God to his spiritual family. Basically, he's making a separation here. He's saying, if you are doing my will, then we are connected spiritually. So if that's so strong, the contrast has to be clear. Then if we are not doing the will of God, then we already have understood what the will of God is. It's clear in Scripture that the will of God is that all men should be saved and that none should perish. Matthew 18 and 14. Even so, it is not the will of your Father which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. I just want to make this clear. I want to drive this all the way home. Because he's saying that it is not his will. So how have we allowed our basic fundamental Christianity to be separate from being a witness? How have we separated being born again, being baptized in Jesus' name, being filled with the Holy Ghost, pursuing a holiness life through separation, and I may be a witness if I have time. When it is convenient for me, I will be a witness. When I feel spiritual, when I get out of church and just feel the anointing, listen, guys, this is the big deal. This is the main idea, as my daughter say, Aaliyah say all the time. Daddy, this is the main idea. This is the big deal. It is all about being a witness. It is all about the will of God being done. But somehow through tradition, the Bible says that the traditions of men have made the power of God ineffective. Therefore, through tradition, we are taught that maybe a certain day after the week, or a certain week after the month, or a certain month out of the century, or whatever else the next deal is to say, we have propagated witnessing to a certain group of people, and we have separated witnessing from the will of God. We see it as being an optional deal. Or maybe it is for these people or those people to witness. But Jesus said, my will is that for all men to be saved. If we are failing to do God's will, if we are failing to reach, if we are failing to be a witness, why in the world are we here? What is the purpose of a born-again Christian? Now, as we read in our text earlier, but I said, I am so hot. Can I take my jacket off? Thank you, sir. Sorry, please. I'm sorry. I get hot very easily. What our text read, it spoke nothing about anything else. He said, what have you done? What have you to bring me here? What are you bringing me back? And I'm sure that man came there with his self all together. He came there with his standards, with his background being intact, with his doctrine intact. And I think God was doing something like this. Well, do you have somebody behind you maybe? Maybe you are standing on him or her. Maybe they're outside waiting. Because what God was saying, I don't care what you was doing. If you were not being a witness, if you was not multiplying what I gave you, why did I even give it to you for? Why do you even have what you have? I know you're powerful. I know you have the gifts of the Spirit. I know you're walking all the fruits of the Spirit. I know you prophesy. You're an apostle. You're a prophet. You're an evangelist, a pastor, and a teacher. And you have the gifts of the Spirit. And you operate in all the governmental administrations. And you operate in helps. And you got all the standards down. But Jesus is saying, what do you have for me? What are you bringing me? Because it is my will. Jesus said that I've come to do his will. He said my family, those who are connected with me, are doing his will. I've come to do his will. What else matters? He says it like this, Matthew 26 and 39. And he went a little farther and fell on his face and pray it, saying, oh, my Father, listen, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. If it is at all possible, let this cup pass from me. But, this is the man Jesus speaking here. But as thy will, not as I will. 26 to 42. Says, he went away again the second time and prayed, saying, oh, my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. Listen what the Lord showed me here. This is, I'm telling you. He said it like this. Basically, what the will of God leads to is the death of our flesh, ultimately speaking. Absolutely. That's why it makes us so very uncomfortable to speak and to deal with the will of God. And so we have somehow separated salvation, separated serving Jesus, separate being born again from being a witness and lead to the will of God. We have allowed it to become a separate entity. And just we have reduced it to a department head. Well, this is when we do this. But Jesus, the Bible says that he said for this, that servant, he said, I will cast you out, you wicked and slothful servant. He said, because you have brought me nothing in return. I know you talk about how good you have church, and I know you talk about how good your music is, and how good your preaching is, and I know you talk about how much you speak in tongues, and I know you talk about your doctrine and how you've been down in the water, but what do you have for me? This is what Jesus is saying, if I can kind of contextualize it a little bit. What are you bringing me? I see what you're saying, and I see what you're doing, and I see how long you've been serving me, but what, somebody said the proof is in the pudding. Because that's what it comes down to. Ephesians 1 and 9 says like this, having made known unto us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure which he had purposed in himself. In other words, he has revealed in his will to us the mysteries of his will that has been hidden from many centuries prior to this. The will of God wasn't clear as we have it now. He said, but I want to make it absolutely clear to you that my will is that none should perish. My will is that not one should fade away. But sometimes it's so easy and it's so convenient and it's so like us to just, what was that you call me? A person that collects stuff? A hoarder. It's so easy to just hoard what we have and suppose that God is going to accept us on these premises. On the premise of that I've been born again. I have been baptized in the name of Jesus. I have been filled with the Holy Ghost. I am living a life of separation. I have all knowledge to understand all mysteries. And I believe God has said, and you're right. I'm glad you got it. But what are you doing with it? Because now we got to understand this. Having it and doing nothing with it is almost equal to not having it. If I'm out on the street and there's a wild bear coming to attack my family, and I pull my 30-06, it's on my side. My wife is saying, help us, dear, help us, dear. And I got my rifle on my side, and I'm trained to use my rifle. And I just look at the bear come and terrorize my family. I'm watching them. Taking my family away. I'm next. I have a weapon that is able to take this guy out. I can disable him. So tell me, what is the good of me having this firearm if I'm not utilizing it? The principle is the same, church. And sometimes what we're waiting for is a certain time in our life. We're waiting for the Hanses to leave the church and be the missionaries. That is what they're called to do. Or maybe we're waiting for this group to leave and say, this is what they're called to do. Because let's face it, guys, aren't we just too busy? I mean, we work. We have families to come home to. We have children to tend to. We have yards to cut, dishes to wash. Have clothes to get cleaned and got to take care of ourselves. And don't forget, we got to have some me time because that's our culture. And don't forget, we got to Twitter at least 100 times a day and spend at least 8 hours on Facebook, because if we don't, we're un-American. And don't forget, we got to keep our Facebook page updated, because this is what Americans do. And we got to keep with the culture, so we got to be dressed to the T. Because this is what Americans do. I love you guys. I'm really probably talking to myself. I would take it. Because this thing hit me really hard over the weekend. Before they called me, my Keisha is my witness. We was discussing these things. I said, baby, we got to hurry up and get past this baby having, and baby's small, and, you know, I know we've been kind of, the baby been kind of growing up, and, you know, but we got to kind of get back in. Because this is really where it is. He said, you wicked and slothful servant, leave me. Not based on what he did or did not do. He said, based on the multiplication table, you are here. What have you brought me back? His will leads to the death of ours. And he has some other wills. You know, I understand the will. The Bible says, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God. But God has a universal will for Christianity. This is the foundation of who we are. If you take this away from us, what are we? The Bible says in Acts 1:8, he said, behold, I will give you power to become my singers. I'm sorry, I must be saying it wrong. Behold, I shall give you power to walk in apostolic anointing. Behold, I shall give you power to look real churchy or to talk churchy, to use the vernacular that we use that sounds like we're Christians, you know. He said, no, I'm giving you the power to become my witnesses. What that really means, I kind of read a little bit. Witnesses is like the ball of a tree, or the root of a tree. Everything else grows out of it. I was trying to bring this thing. But it's like, it's the core of it. And what springs out of it are the fruits or whatever kind of tree it is. And that's why he made this proclamation so clear. He said, but you shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses. That word literally means my martyrs. You shall live for me and me only. Not based on who, nothing else. Not based on how good your music are. Not based on how good your preaching is. Not based on how you look and how you dress. He said, you will be my witnesses. Now, I submit to you there are many forms. Pastor Self spoke about it last week. There are many, many forms of witnesses. My wife and I were talking about this earlier this week. You can, you know, we got the door hangers type. The guys that are nonverbal. You know, you got some people that are not confrontational. They are not going to walk up to you. You know, you got the solid witness. You know, the ones that just, your character speak of who you are. You know, and you got many, many forms of witnesses, many, 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 many forms of witnesses. But behold, this is the core who God have called us to be. Pastor Kyle came up here about a month or two ago through prayer, and he cast a vision over the church. He said, the vision is for souls. The vision is God is concerned with souls. That is the business of God. And it's so easy in this anti-Jesus culture. It's so easy in this untoward generation, the Bible calls a backwards generation, for us to get caught up in everything else. Isn't it easy? But as much as lie within us, the Bible says, submit to God. Submit to his will. Jesus said, Lord, if this cup cannot be passed before me, then let me drink it. He said, my will is through the will of him who sent me. Paul said in Corinthians, he said, I pray ye in Christ's stead. What that means is that we are the legal representations of Jesus Christ here in the earth. We are his legal representatives. We are diplomats. We are in a foreign, this is not our land, guys. We are pilgrims here. We are foreigners here. We are just, this is just a temporary status we have here. Our green card, we have a temporary green, what is it called? A work visa. Our visa says we are here just for work. We are here for the purpose of working, and God deliver us if we get distracted with anything else. God deliver us. If anything else, if our status go from being temporary workers to permanent status, from temporary status to permanent, that is why that is what the writer of Hebrews saw. He said, these men and women walked here. He said, the ground they walked on was unworthy of them. He said, all these died in the faith, not having a promise. But they embraced it. They knew their status was only temporary. They knew their status. They only had a working visa. They was not allowed to be comfortable. They was not allowed to make a build them a house here. Because he said, live in a tent. That is the mind frame of the New Testament Christians. We are just living in tents here. Our spiritual status is that we are pilgrims. We are not to think this is our permanent home. We cannot start to accept things that's becoming acceptable. We cannot just go with the trend. We cannot just become culturally and politically correct at the expense of our Christianity and the foundation of who Jesus has called us to be. God, deliver us. Pastor Kyle said it the other Wednesday. Oh, boy, I feel something harboring. Speak, Lord. Speak, God. I feel something just harboring in the atmosphere. Hallelujah. Sunday. Speak, Jesus. Interrupt this right now and speak. We give you permission, Father. He said that we have these vehicles. And it just brought my heart down. He says, Sister Mangan have this route that she's been running for years. I said, Lord, what am I doing? I know what I do in church. I'm not asking about that. I know what my task and my job here is, here within the walls. That is not my question. What am I doing here? Am I really making a difference? Or am I the unprofitable servant that's bringing me back to him? Am I the unprofitable servant saying, well, here I am, Lord. Isn't this enough for you? Am I the wicked and slothful servant that's coming back to God with nothing behind me, with nothing to show for my 8 years of being here, my almost 15 years of in the ministry serving Jesus? Am I the wicked and the unprofitable servant that's proud and arrogant and lifted up? And I'm going to tell you about yourself. Lord, I know that you are reaping where you sow not, and you're harvesting where you straw not. Am I that wicked and unprofitable servant because I'm here? Lord, I'm here on Sundays. Lord, I'm here on Wednesdays. Lord, I'm trying to come a little early to spend time in prayer, and I'm gathering my family in Bible studies. But what am I bringing? What am I offering to you, Lord? What do I have to show for all the anointing that I feel, all the power of Jesus that I feel? Can anyone deny that you don't feel powerful? Can anyone deny that you don't feel the anointing of God from Sunday to Sunday or Wednesday to Wednesday? Can anybody deny that you don't feel the very presence of Jesus? Seriously. That you don't feel it on Sunday when the praise team is singing, or when the hands of praise are performing, or when Pastor Cal or Pastor Sapp is preaching to us, or when, if we're feeling it and we know it, what are we doing? Why have we separated it? It's one and the same. It is one and the same. We are called. I was reading about this. This is my last story. I want to leave time for prayer. I was reading a story about the tree. And they say the tree was out of season when Jesus cursed it. Some theologians say that the tree was not supposed to be barren. Maybe. They say the tree was supposed to be barren, but it wasn't barren. Maybe. We'll talk about it later. The point I want to make is that Jesus still cursed it. He said, if you're not bearing fruit, you're good for nothing. This is what Jesus told the tree. He said, I come to you for fruit, and you give me just pretty leaves. I come to you for fruit, and you look tall and bountiful. Your root system is big and plush. See, I'm not coming to you for that. I'm not coming to a tree to look at it and say, wow, look how beautiful you are. You seem to have everything together. Jesus said, no. I come to you for fruit. And you're not giving me what I come to you for. Unroot this tree. Uproot this tree. Curse it. Let it wither away. It's fit for none but the dunghill. Why? My last point. We have been called to be a light in a dark world. I'm glad it's quiet. Because either I'm boring you or you're listening. If we're not bearing fruits, church, and I take this as for me, but if we're not bearing fruit, we are subject to be cast out. I want to explain this before I get misunderstood. I don't mean out of the local church. I don't even mean out of the assembly. I don't mean from out of the family of God. But Jesus said it this way. Those that do the will of my Father, these are my brothers, are my sisters, is my mother. Those that are involved in the will of God. And this is my tendency, and it has always been my tendency. Can I be transparent? I can become so busy for working with God, working for God. I can become so busy, Brother Cornelius, with singing on the praise team, with helping the ministry when I can, that I think this is what God called me for. I can become so busy, I can give myself to it so much because I really love music, as most of you probably can tell. I really love to sing, and I really love praise and worship. I love everything about it. And it's so easy for me to be drawn to this and think this is what I'm here for, and it's not. I'm here to bear fruit. All these other things are just side items. They're just byproducts. They are just byproducts to my purpose and to the plan of God. I think it's 8:18. I don't know how much time we have left. I don't know how much time we have, but that's all I have to say about it. Can I ask you to come to pray? And before you stand, I'm not wanting you to cry out. You don't have to scream. You don't have to holler. You don't have to make a sound if you don't like. But can we come and kind of reunite, if I can say it that way, get in line, align our will with the will of God? Can we ask the Lord, and maybe you can just stay seated. I don't know what you're most comfortable with. But can we just spend these last few minutes in prayer asking the Lord to revive our hearts, rekindle a passion and a fire that we can burn for the will of God. If something in us can be born for the will of God, if the purpose of God can be rekindled and renewed in us for his will, with his purpose, with his plan, become so involved in the will of God that it leads to the death of our flesh, to the death of our will, and our ambition becomes secondary. That our primary reason for breathing, for living, for existing is to do the will of God. It's to be a fruitful tree. It's to make use of the power and the anointing of God that we feel and that he has given us. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. You can do it right here. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord. Help us, God. Oh, God, let your will be born in us again, oh, Lord. Oh, God, it's so easy to be distracted. It's so easy to lose focus, God. It's so easy to have our attention swayed, oh, Lord. Everything pulls for our attention, Lord. Everything pulls, oh, God, in the name of Jesus. But we're saying tonight, God, that we are refocusing our hearts. We are focusing our minds on the will of God, oh, Lord, and reaching and being a witness. And Lord, we know that it's kind of uncomfortable, Lord, for us. It's kind of inconvenient for us, oh Lord. But help us, Lord. Help us to drink this cup in the name of Jesus. Help us to drink this cup in the name of Jesus. Oh Lord, you told your disciples that if any will follow him, if any will follow you, Lord, that we must first deny ourselves, oh Lord. You say, eat of my flesh and drink of my blood. Hallelujah. Oh, God, let us not turn away, Lord. Let us not shrink back. Oh, God, but let us seek you with our whole heart. Let us call upon you, Lord, while you're able to be found, oh Lord. Let us come after you. Give us one pure and holy passion, Lord. Give us a one obsession, God. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we empty ourselves tonight that you may fill us up again. Fill me, Lord. Fill me, Lord. Hallelujah. Lord, what else matters, oh God? What else matters? What else matters? What else matters, Lord? I don't want to just do church. I don't want to just do religion. I don't want to just come in and go out. I don't want to just be here on Sundays and on Wednesdays, Lord. I don't want to just be born again, Lord. I don't want to just have doctrine. I don't want to just live a life. Oh, God, but I want your will to consume me. Let your will consume me, Lord. Let your will consume me, Lord. Let your will consume me, Lord. Oh, shuti diebe. Oh, let your will consume me. Let your will consume me. Oh, the Lord wants to break forth tonight. Hallelujah. Let's submit to Jesus, church. Let's submit to his will. Let's submit to his authority. Oh, Jesus, do it in us again, oh Lord. Do it in us again, oh Lord. Do it in us again. Revive our hearts, oh God. 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 Rekindle, God. Restore, renew. Rejuvenate, God, those of us, God. God, let us not grow weary. Let us not, oh God, be faint-hearted. Let us not be tired. We bind the spirit of tiredness in the name of Jesus. We come against the spirit of making us busy, oh God, and not being faithful, not being good stewards of our time, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. I believe this is what you gave me for tonight. Help us, Lord. I believe this is what you wanted me to say, Lord. Help us. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Help us. It's all about you, Jesus, your will. Your will is all that matters, Lord. There are so many dying. There are so many perishing. There are so many that needs to know who you are. There are so many that needs to know about your love, about your mercy, God. Maybe it's my neighbor. Maybe it's my coworker. Maybe it's my friend, God, that I see every day. Maybe, I don't know, but help me to be unashamed. Help me not to be fearful and intimidated and feel incompetent. Oh, Jesus, help us, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. Help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. Help us, God. Jesus, help us. Help us. Oh, Jesus. Somebody's getting it. Oh, yes. Let's just linger for a few more seconds. Let's just let his presence linger. Yes. Let his presence just linger among us here. Oh, yes. Yes. Let his presence just linger among us. We don't have to hurry out. Ah, oh, yes. Oh, yes. Have thine own way, hey Lord. Have thine own way. For you are the potter. and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will. While I am waiting, Shundo, yielded and still. Yes, Jesus. Have thine own way, hey, Lord. Have thine own way. For you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will. While I am waiting, Shundo, yielded and still. Oh, Jesus. Have thine own way, hey, Lord. Have thine own way, Jesus. For you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will. While I am waiting, yielded and still. Last time. Have thine own way, Lord. Have thine own way, for you are the potter, and I am the clay. Mold me and make me after thine will, while I am waiting. While I am waiting, you didn't steal, Jesus. Oh, yes.
Can we stand to our feet tonight? Let's lift our hands to the Lord who has empowered us, who has empowered us, amen, to fulfill his purpose on the earth.